Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a good morning out there. Got your host, James Jay, and we're joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Good to have the band back together, especially on a Thursday, where we get to welcome in our good friend Denise and talk about things with the Southwood County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week. Love it.
What I want to know is that the song or is that Seth?
It was a combination of Seth and I. We couldn't figure out which one did it best, so we just merged them together. We appreciate you being here, Denise. How you doing?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always good to have you with us. Love talking about not only what is going on at the Humane Society, but certainly our good friends over there. We do want to send a special shout out to our friends at Milltown Coffee, sponsoring this segment, giving us an opportunity to hang out with Denise, talk about some of these great furry friends of ours. Milltown is up and running. Everybody check out that lunch menu of theirs. They got a bunch of other great things in store for you, and of course some amazing coffee. Find out more at missioncoffeerapids.com, missioncoffeerapids.com, or type into your search bar on Facebook Milltown Coffee Company. Like what they're doing, subscribe, keep up to date on everything over there. Buy local, support local, and support those that support this community, like our friends at Milltown Coffee Company. And Denise, before we dive into action over at the Humane Society, I had a story that I wanted to touch on with you and Terry.
Okay.
A kitten heard calling for help from an underground pipe in New York was coaxed out by a rescuer and will soon be available for adoption. Pamela Gallagher, who lives in Bayshore area on Long Island, said she heard animal sounds coming from underneath her deck and called for help from firefighters. Firefighters pulled up some boards and discovered the sounds were coming from a 10 to 15 feet underground inside a downspout.
Wow.
John DeBecker, a Long Island cat and kitten solution responder, responded to the home and played recorded kitten sounds to lure the tiny feline out.
Okay, but wow. Just think that there's an actual position that's a kitten responder.
It tells you a little bit how much this happens.
It happens a lot.
But I love the idea. So I don't know if he's done this before, but he seemed to have this ready to go.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like something you just have good. Sitting around or anything.
Probably so just on like his phone. Done this before. Probably just has a file, right?
Yeah,
like
you
could just...
Hang on, I got this.
Yeah, right?
Every animal is certainly different, and it's part of the reason why I feel like anytime you hear like just different techniques that people use to coax their animals back or out of something, it's all good data.
Right. If it works, keep doing it.
But you know what's funny? Can't you see a dog responding quicker to like another dog sound?
Yeah.
I mean, I think sometimes cats are like...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, maybe this one's been stuck long enough that it wants to come out, but like all of a sudden it's just because it hears another cat. Like, why?
Or it might be afraid. I'm staying down here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. That too. It's an interesting article. A shout out to all those workers over there and helping out that little furry guy there. Denise, how are things going over at the shop? What are you guys up to?
They're great. We are putting furniture where it needs to be and looking at the end of complete construction. They're going to be redoing our floor, so we're a little tentative on getting things finalized. But other than that, we are up 100% back in business.
So good to hear.
Yeah.
That's wonderful, especially for the staff and the animals.
Yeah.
Things are getting back to a normal kind of routine over there.
They are, yes.
With that, does that mean we're opening things to more volunteers or dog walkers or anything?
Yep, absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers to come in and walk dogs, walk cat or socialize cats. Just go on our website and fill out that volunteer tab or volunteer application under the Get Involved tab.
And you can do that at the website. We'll get that to you before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. You guys are also going to be in town today. You got a busy day today. You're stopping by here, and you're also going to be at Lunch by the River.
Correct. We are very excited about the opening day of Lunch by the River. We will be there every week, and we will have a pet. Today we're going to have a dog for everybody to see.
Oh, cool. Very cool. We are looking forward to seeing you down there. Terry and I will talk a little bit more about Lunch by the River later and our good stories of the day and everything, but make your lunch plans are already set, everybody. 11:30 to 1, we'll meet you at Veterans Memorial Park with Denise. And it's going to be fun. That is going to be great.
Yeah.
I will not. I have so many follow-up questions, but I don't want to ruin anything. So, yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. As far as needs over there, are we still in kitten season?
Yep. Cat litter, kitten food, like the soft or any of kind of the pet tays, we are in need. and as always, sensitive stomach and skin food for dogs and cats.
And, you know, Denise, one of the things, and this is something that we are actually kind of, in a way, talking with Terry before about, we have a great community that just shows up for this stuff. Terry and I were talking about the diaper drive going on with the United Way and the great response with that, or Stuff the Desk or some of those events. And certainly you and the staff at the Humane Society experience a lot of those things. This good community, but sometimes it can be a little overwhelming when you, you know, okay, I want to get wet cat food. I want to help out. I want to do something like that. And there are 50 brands. So is it, I don't like to add on to your guys' plate over there, no pun intended. But if I'm just daunted by this or I'm uncertain, can I reach out to you guys and say, hey, which brand is a brand you recommend or something?
You can call with questions anytime. I'm usually there 5 or 6 days a week, even though we're closed on Mondays and Wednesdays. I'm there, they can call. Otherwise, we're not picky on brands. We will take anything that you can find on a shelf, or if it's been used, you have it in your house, you're not using it, as long as it's in its original packaging and it's not expired, we can take it and use it, no matter the brand.
I have made the audience wait long enough. Denise, who is our pet of the week?
This week, we're going to feature Bluey. He's an American Blue Heeler. Every inch of him is the herding, working dog. He's beautiful. He's only 2 years old. He is okay around other dogs. Doesn't care for young children. So probably in a home with no young children or older children or people that know his breed.
I am a sucker for Blue Heelers. I've had some good interactions with them and everything. I really enjoy them. I don't have young kids, but even I had the Bluey theme song pop in my head as soon as I saw that title. I could not help it. That's great. That's a great name. A great name. And a really, really fun looking dog. A little fun little guy here.
He is very fun. He's all personality.
And I can't tell too well from the pictures. Usually, for me, Blue Heelers are taller, a bit bigger. He doesn't seem to have a lot of the height to him.
No, he doesn't. He's a medium-sized dog. I wouldn't say small. Maybe about 40, 50 pounds. But he's got lots of energy, and he will herd everybody and everything.
Well, it seems like a really, like the especially, and this is obviously, I say this a lot with this segment, but just there's some family out there that this dog is going to be a literal perfect fit for.
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of people are big fans of this breed and know a lot about it. So if you are looking for an American Blue Heeler, come check Bluey out.
I feel like I should borrow him to herd all those darn rabbits that are in my yard.
Well, he would.
Move them on.
The winter, there was things very busy in the rabbit community over winter, because I feel like every day I'm seeing rabbits where I used to not see them and everything.
Yeah. Lots and lots.
Our golden retriever could care less. He just looks at them. He'll chase them a little bit, but I mean, you know, he just doesn't care. Yeah. He's not a good yard, you know, like... Protect the perimeter.
Right. Whereas my fur brother, Sam, who we got through the Humane Society, and actually, and I Sammy just turned 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Me and my mom and dad just completely missed that one. We feel so bad. We're trying to make up for it. You know it's bad when you feel like the guilt you already feel about stuff, but then with a dog. And they don't care. But we do. And Sam's gone. He's almost 100% blind.
Wow.
He does guard the back. Backyard. He takes that very seriously. But now with that sight thing and this, I feel like Sam's barking at stuff a lot of the time that isn't really there. We just good job, Sam. Good job.
Job. We got it.
Find out more about Bluey, everybody. This sounds like a really sweet, wonderful dog just looking for the right forever home.
Yes.
If you would like to find out more about Bluey and some of the great things going on at our local Humane Society, I encourage you to, first off, one of the great places, just go on to their website. It's a wonderful website. They do a really good job with it. SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Otherwise, you can email them, office@SWCHS.com. Give them a call, 715-423-0505, 423-0505. And you can stop on by at 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. If you are able to help out with some of those in need items, not a bad idea to call ahead of time if you'd like.
Correct.
They always appreciate that, and certainly feel free to reach out to Denise with any other needs you might have.
Absolutely.
Denise, say hi to the staff and all those great animals for us, and Bluey, of course, and thank you for joining us.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
And again, a big thank you to Milltown Coffee Company for sponsoring this segment. Greatly appreciate the work that they're doing over there. Follow along with what they're doing at missioncoffeerapids.com, missioncoffeerapids.com. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR.
Get ready to
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Still a good beat.
Still a good beat.
Terry and James hanging out with you. Big shout out to our friend Denise from the Southland County Humane Society joining us. Big thank you to Milltown Coffee Company and, of course, to Bluey. That was fun. That was a fun segment. Be listening next Thursday for another opportunity. Hear about our great things going on at the Humane Society and another great pet of the week. Diving into some entertainment news, Lainey Wilson got engaged to her longtime boyfriend, Duck Hodges, back in February. And ever since then, she's been getting nonstop questions about the wedding and all of these things, because people can't just stop that, help themselves, apparently. If you had a chance to interact with Lainey Wilson, I think it's got to be the last thing on my mind is like trying to pry into her personal life or anything. I could think of a billion questions that I would ask before that. But, I guess I get it. Which is only natural for... nowadays, I suppose. Since she's basically the new queen of country music is what some people are saying. I don't feel comfortable saying that, and I know darn sure, not to speak for the woman, but I'm pretty certain that Lainey Wilson don't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, pretty likely.
But I get she's very popular right now, and I'm very happy for her. I think she's earned every little bit of this, if not more. I think that's part of what comes with this fame. Unfortunately, part of what comes with fame is you lose, the more famous you get, the less of your personal life becomes your own. And whether that's fair or not, that's a whole other topic that we can get into another day or something.
Well, yeah, it's the whole glass house, fishbowl, whatever you want, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, whatever you want to call it, but...
You know, you get certain things in life, and there are certain things that come with that. And, we're all adults, understanding that when you walk into that world and everything. And I'm pretty certain that she gets that. And I say that not because I've heard her talk about this necessarily, but I've seen her, the way she interacts with this stuff and fans and everything. Yeah. She just seems to be a real natural at all this. She just revealed some news about her wedding that might be kind of interesting or shocking to some. There will be no country music. You heard that right. They're going with a jazz route.
Oh.
They're hiring a jazz band or two for the big day. Classy choice. So far, there's no word when Lainey's wedding will be, because it doesn't matter. It's up to them. I don't believe it, unless you were being invited. Then maybe you might care. But let them get married and let them do their thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect... I imagine it won't affect her touring schedule or anything like that. If they want to share pictures, they'll do that when the wedding is. But the next big question, or the big question people keep asking her, bugging her and Duck Hodges about, is when the wedding's going to be. And I admire any of these people that are able to, like, after the 30th time somebody asks, and be like, well, now, sugar, we ain't doing it. We're going to do it when we do it, or whatever. Because I would lose my mind over that stuff. I don't know that I would be able to handle those questions. I could handle darn near any kind of questions, but it's those questions that you got to know that you have no business asking that question. There are friends of yours you wouldn't ask that question. You're going to ask a celebrity that you get your 5 seconds around this person, and that's what you're going to do with it.
You know, it's funny. This wasn't a one-on-one meeting, but we had an opportunity, our family, to be part of a celebrity meet and greet earlier, like in April. But that was one of the things when they came out. So there was probably about 40 of us in the room. But when she came out, the person with her said, okay, so we're going to start with the questions that we get most commonly asked. Mm. And so, like, her friend kind of, or her partner kind of moderated it, so she said, well, she gets asked this all the time. So then she answered and then opened the floor to questions. So it was like, there was kind of the first 12 things that she just always gets asked. She's like, I'm gonna have Amber just answer these right away.
I like that.
And then you can, and it was kind of nice, because those were all questions that I feel like people probably had. I mean, of the 10 or 12, I probably, 8 of those probably had popped in my head. Mm-hmm. And so, it was just kind of, now obviously that doesn't alleviate when you're one-on-one, like you bump into somebody and they ask, but it was just a nice way to kind of, move some of that away, so that, she could have some other discussion and not have that repetitiveness of, I'm always asked this.
One of the first things an agent will tell me when I talk to them is, hey, what have you done wrong? What do I need to know about? And then when that conversation 2 days later is over.
You cut it back?
Yeah, cut back. I'm maturing, Terry.
Nice.
But they tell me right away, okay, now after we're done with this conversation or whatever, it's a matter of, okay, well, when something happens, it's not if, it's when something happens, we want to get ahead of it. That's the big thing. especially nowadays, which I think is really...
Tell me before we ask you, right?
Yeah, and then getting ahead of it as a personality and everything. And I think that's key to today's day and age. Now, that doesn't just involve, you know, moments of, you know, a controversy. It could be something as simple as just letting people know why you wear bell bottoms all the time, or, you know, how you got your big break. When you get ahead of these things, then it saves a little time, you know, for stuff later on. Or maybe you don't get asked those questions. And like Lainey Wilson or any other person in the spotlight, from the biggest name to the smallest, even on a level of what we do, we all walk into this understanding part of what gets people to listen to your music or go to your movies or anything is, you know, first and foremost, I think talent. I think you could be the most likable person in the world, and if you aren't good at something, you're only going to make it so far and have so long of a you're going to have a shelf life.
Sure.
But it's people getting to know you and people liking this person. I've watched a number of Lainey Wilson interviews, and as talented and as good as she is at what she does, what brings me back to liking her and rooting for her is hearing her talk about these things, talk about herself, talk about her life or any of this stuff, and how natural I think she is at it. That brings you to the game, that brings you in.
And I feel like she's authentic.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, there's not, I don't know. I just feel like what you see is actually what you get, and it's pretty, you know, I don't know. She just is so real.
The only way you learn that is through the interviews and sharing a little of yourself. So it's that dance you got to do. How much is too much is something that every artist has to decide for themselves. And I would like to see society make a real firm gentleman's agreement, if you will, on, you know what, we're not going to bring this
like
up.
Back
we're not
off gonna a
ask
little,
this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But at the same time, I think that, you know, it's a really good show of character is how, you know, I guess Lainey Wilson, but anybody, how they react when they have been asked the same thing 4,000 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, what is the demeanor they decide to put forward? So, and she's, I think she's great.
Yeah, sky's the limit. Sky is the limit for her. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she does with her career. Now, her wedding, that's her business. But her career, I'm looking forward to seeing.
We'll look at pictures if they come out.
Yeah, probably. we have Geoffrey Rush, a wonderful, wonderful actor, Oscar winner, to thank for convincing Orlando Bloom to star as Will Turner in 2003's Pirates of the Caribbean. He originally wasn't into it, was not going to do it. Orlando says, quote, "My agent said Disney wants to make a movie based on a theme park ride, and I was like, that is crazy. I want nothing to do with it." It wasn't until he talked to Geoffrey that he changed his mind. That they were filming Ned Kelly together in Australia at the time. Orlando added, quote, "Geoffrey Rush says I owe him 10%. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Only 10? I guarantee you that Orlando made a much bigger paycheck than he did. As you know, Geoffrey also was in Pirate series as Captain Barbosa. He was wonderful in it. Everybody was wonderful in most movies. I thought they were, at least. That's kind of funny to think of, though. This happens way more than we realize, where, you know, actors lean on each other and actors they can trust. There's actually been a number of relationships that have been ruined in Hollywood history, especially back in the day, because of an actor either giving advice, the director like them, but they don't like this other guy, or just giving misadvice and like misleading another actor so that you could get the role or something. Happened a lot more back in the day, especially in the 40s and 50s. The industry is just as cutthroat as ever been, but it was a much darker thing back then than it is now, which is kind of odd to think of, I think, that things were actually, as far as the game goes and everything, were much darker the way they were handled back then. It's interesting. And a smart move by Geoffrey Rush, because, Orlando Bloom, his star has blown up since then, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, there are great movies that have ensemble casts that go out of their way to, like the Ocean's 11 movies are probably a prime example of this. The Lord of the Rings movies, Pirates of the Caribbean movies, they're all examples of, you know, we got to get as many stars as possible, just big, big casts. What I think I enjoy more, and I love those movies, but I enjoy even more, is when you go back and you look at it and you're like, oh my God, this movie had this actor and this actor. One of my favorite things in the world of watching an old Law and Order episode from the mid-90s, and you see some star that's Scarlett Johansson or somebody like that, you know, before they got their big break and stuff. And then there's the movie The Outsiders, which I think is the accumulation of all of these things. When that movie was being put together, they weren't like, okay, let's take the next 10 actors that are going to have like a 30, 40 year careers and put them in a movie together before anybody knows who they are. But that's what happened with The Outsiders. And The Outsiders, you know, had an incredible cast, a perfect cast, especially for back in the day and when this came out. So this was interesting to hear. The Outsiders, in The Outsiders, Patrick Swayze was just one of several up-and-coming young actors in the cast. And he wasn't even the most famous one at the time, but he found a way to stand out. There's a famous group publicity photo that you've probably seen before in which Swayze is taller than the other guys. What you might not have noticed is that Swayze is standing on bricks.
Smart.
So this came about recently. Rob Lowe was on the Dan Patrick the Rich Eisen show, and he said in the past that people often hand him the photo to sign, and when he does, he circles the bricks. This was a joke between him and Swayze.
I hope it's a joke, not a butthead move.
It's just a little joke between, and I think that it. I think Rob may have even touched on this. It's a way of remembering him.
Yeah, for sure.
They all got really close with that one. Ralph Macchio, Emilio Estevez, Tom Cruise was in that.
You know, isn't that funny though? That, I mean, it is quite hidden.
It's like, so like
you
hidden.
Could, but you, I mean, oh, it's it there. Me now that you say that, it's there. But I would have never.
Never.
Just, you know, like scrolling, or even if you saw that on a, I've seen that as a poster, you know, like back in the day. But I don't know that I. Ever noticed that?
It's a really famous photo to me, in part because of the history of all of these actors and everything I was saying beforehand. And I have never noticed that. I'm not going to be able to see it.
So then, though, was it his idea? Like, did he just, you know what I mean? Like, doing these shots, and did he just, like, scoot some bricks over there, grab the closest thing, and be like, I'm going to be taller than everyone?
According to Rob Lowe, it was all him. It was all Swayze was trying to find a way to stand out.
Except he, you know. Can't tell us the real story, but that is awesome.
I would like to
know. I would have never noticed that.
I would have loved to have heard Patrick Swayze talk about this. Now, he seemed like one of those people that didn't really put on airs either. You know, he knew the game, and especially back when he was around, it's not as free form as it is nowadays. But he always seemed to be a really good interview and seemed to be pretty, you know, ongoing. I imagine talking to Patrick Swayze after Ghost and Roadhouse and everything is probably a little more like self-deprecating. Well, I think he proved that in his career, you know, doing drag roles and things like that, things that were way out of his range and character, but really pushing himself as a talent.
I'm just getting this visual, right? All those guys, you take all those guys and think about them now or whatever, but can't you just see, like, there's literally only two bricks, and they're like wrestling each other to see who gets the bricks. You know what I mean? They just fall in and pose for the poster. But I just, you know, I think it's hilarious. Like, was there a fight for the bricks, or did he just sneak them in?
If there was, we know who won, certainly. But I guarantee you who was putting up the biggest fight was Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise has had to think about his height like Aaron Rodgers. I guarantee you that Tom Cruise wishes he would have thought of this.
I love it.
That's funny. That's a good one. And a good on Rob Lowe for bringing that up. I think that was a fun memory of that movie. Let's go ahead and take a quick time out, get to our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. When Terry and I get back, we're going to continue the dog theme here a little bit, going from the Humane Society to your own home, and who is more popular, you or your dog? We will get to that when we get back on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. We hope you are having a great Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve, everybody. Let's continue this theme of animals a little bit, Terry, as this hour we started off talking with Denise and our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society, and had Bluey, our pet of the week we were talking about, a wonderful dog. I imagine Bluey is very popular in the at the Humane Society, like most of those animals are, but what about in your own home? Staying in from Memorial Day weekend, well, here's a question that might make you might want to think about or rethink or what have you. Who would you say has the better social life, you or your dog? A doggy daycare place polled 2,000 owners, and almost two-thirds said their dog has a more active social life than they do. I would have answered the same thing. Yes. My fur brother Sam definitely is more popular and has more has a better social life than I do. Here are a few other stats from the poll. We'll get to those in a second. But Terry, for you and to the audience out there, I want honest answers from everybody. Who is more popular in the house, you or the dog?
Yeah, I think in the house, but like just socially, mm-hmm. you know, we live in the country. So like he's not getting to Yeah. be popular with, you know, with the dog friends.
You know, I don't know about for you guys, but I know for Sam, you know, he just turned 8, and I don't know that he really cares as much as he used to as far as socializing and stuff. Now, if you're somebody that he's recognizes your smell, then yeah, he can't wait to get over by you and check out things and stuff, and some people more than others, certainly. But for the most part, I don't think, you know, he's more interested in animals.
Oh,
he's
see,
more,
and Rex is all over everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not a jumper. Well, we try, you know, so he's not like all over you like that. But yeah. If you pull in our yard, like he is there and he is just wanting to be scratched. You know what I mean? Like he's not protecting. He's not like he is just all about one-on-one time with you.
My Nana loved my grandmother, loved my parents and me and my brother and sister and I and all that. And I'm pretty certain that the last years of her life, she came to go visit my parents because of their dog Zeppelin. I'm pretty sure it was a big part of the reason. So I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It makes sense. I get it. Here are some other stats that came from the poll. 63% of people said that their dog gets to hang out with its friends more than they do. Friends meaning other dogs that they might see on walks or in the park or something like that.
Or a lot of people do doggy daycare.
Yeah,
a lot of people do that now.
Yeah. Which, you know, when I think of Sam, if I have one thing that I really wish we would have done differently or could have done differently, and not that we saw this coming or anything, is he doesn't really know how to be a dog.
So, like, socialize him with more dogs.
Right, yeah. Right. And anytime you could do some of that, whatever you want to call it, I think that's a great idea. Few dogs couldn't use more of that. 54% said that their dog has a friend group. Now we're just...
Okay.
I guess. They might, I guess. And 69% said that their dog has a best friend.
That's another pet, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yes,
not a human.
Yes, another pet. Huh. Yeah. I guess I could see that.
I mean, if there's another pet in the house, but what if there's not? Then where are they? How are they connecting with this best friend?
If you do have a routine and you're bringing them to a dog daycare or a dog park or something, maybe there's another dog that is a regular at those.
And how is best friendship determined?
Yeah, that part.
Butt sniffing?
Yeah,
or?
It's got to be. It's got to involve
right?
butt sniffing, right?
I mean,
it's got to involve that, yeah. Which I don't recommend for adults.
Sounds like a personal experience.
It does. You learn from your mistakes, Terry. 91% agree it's important for dogs to have an active social life. Certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would actually say that this is an integral part of being a pet owner or parent or whatever words you want to use. And if you can't do this, this is one of the reasons why we say it's maybe you aren't right for an animal.
Or maybe the timing just isn't right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I already know, like, I'm pretty certain that I'm not going to be able to retire, but I do hope to take a step back one day of working so much, and I know that I'm going to fill that time with dogs. Just as many dogs as humanly possible. I will probably be that guy at the end of the road that everybody at Halloween isn't certain if they're going to go to his house or not, and then I'll bring the dogs out and I'll be friendly.
You have definitely thought this through.
I have a little bit, yeah. But it's like when I think of retirement, that's generally like the kind of stuff I think about. I don't really think too much about, you know, what going off and visiting, you know, an island or something.
You know, when our last dog...
I didn't even have an example. I didn't even have a generic example how little I've thought of that. That was a horrible example. It was horrible.
When our last dog died, I said, that's it. No more dogs, right? But then it's kind of exactly what you're saying, because my husband was retired and he's like, I'm pulling rank on this because because I'm saying no more dogs because I don't want to clean up like dog hair and stuff. You know, like there's an element of it that just changes things when they're all over in the house. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, I'm pulling rank because I'm home all day, you know, or not all day, but
no.
most days.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's like, I like having a dog follow me mm-hmm. around and doing stuff outside and that kind of stuff. So, you know, so I caved.
Good on you. Good on you for doing that. I that's a really another fun and I think important part of this. And especially when, you know, when we have Denise on and we feature an older dog or something along those lines, one of my first thoughts is our seniors out there and some of our people that are isolated and don't have as much going on. Certainly, we don't want to put on them something that they can't necessarily handle or anything, for lack of a better way of putting it. But I do think that that being a really, when it can happen, a wonderful mashup, because dogs keep, we're talking about how important it is for dogs to socialize, just as important for human beings, if not more. And dogs can keep us on, when you have a responsibility, most human beings, no matter how sad or how lonely you are or how happy you are or any of these other feelings, you think of that, well, I got to feed the dog. Oh, I got to walk the dog.
The responsibility of the care, yeah.
And it gets you out, gets you doing things. It gets you active a little bit, along with, of course, your furry friend. The top reasons it is important to keep your dog social or keep them active: it makes them happier, they're less lonely, they're more loving, and it makes them more confident. All the same thing for human beings too.
Yeah.
So it's a true win-win situation there for the animal and for the owner, parent, whatever you might want to say. Also, another reason why we encourage people, as you touched on wonderfully, you may have all the want in the world to do this, but not in the right time of it. So reach out to the Humane Society, finding out ways that you can volunteer, help out. I think it's a great way to not only keep yourself active and everything, but maybe get that that itch of wanting an animal. I know for me it helps.
And maybe start with cats seem to be a little more self-sufficient, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Not that dogs don't want to be, but it's just different, the attention that's needed, but they're good companions too.
Can be such a great companion.
Yeah.
They can be, cats are the perfect, there are certain friends that I've had, they're like, oh, I got to get a dog, I'm like, no, man, you are a cat person. You may not want to own it, you may not want to realize it, but you do not want an animal that is around you 24/7 and is your shadow. Like, I can think of one person in particular that would have driven him crazy. So he got a cat, and he did it. And to be fair, it was just a random act of circumstances, and he got the cat for free. Last I talked to him, and it was a while ago, but last I talked to him, he still got that cat.
Yeah.
He's a trucker, too. So, I mean, there's certain people that lifestyle really fits much more with the animal. So here's one last one for us to get into, Terry, before we get out of the break here, out of the segment. Even if you're just running a quick errand, do you always lock your door when you go out? Now, I have owned this very much on the air. I am very, very guilty of this. As soon as I walk in a house, I don't even think about it. It's just an instinct. I lock doors. I cannot help myself. There's no way I could fall asleep at night without checking the doors at night and those things. This is a city person thing. This is something that we do in the city routinely. This is nothing in the city. You do this all the time. Moving out here was a complete culture shock for me, especially when I lived in Rome. I drove my Nana and Papa crazy because they would be, the doors would be locked in the middle of the day and stuff. And they're like, what are you doing?
Are they like, grab it to go out and it's deadbolted?
Yes, yes. Absolutely. Not just the main lock, but the big lock too and stuff. I've never been able to help this is a habit. I'm still just as bad as I was when I was seven as I am at
But you know what?
Age.
You were probably taught at that age to do it, no exceptions, because maybe mom or dad weren't home or whatever exactly. It might be. Like it was instinctual that they were like, you have to do this. So
all that being said, I don't think even I have ever done this where when the mailbox was at the end of the driveway or something, locked my door to go dad. I don't think
a little much.
Yeah, even I haven't done that one. And I'm bad at this, I admit. But that one, I don't know.
I guess maybe if you're, if you know you have sketchy neighbors or your mailbox is at the end of the road or something like, you know what I mean, where you can't there might be some situations, but in general, no.
Someone polled 2,000 Americans to find out when we do, and when we do go check the mail, do we lock up or not? They asked people in all 50 states, and Georgia locks up the most. 93% said that they always lock their doors compared to 48% of people in like North Dakota at the bottom of the list.
I can't believe 48% of people lock their door to get their mail.
Well, how about the 93% that do?
Yeah.
They always
but
do.
But I mean, as a low?
Oh, as a low. Yes. Like, okay. As a, yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm sorry. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean,
that's
yeah,
kind of. Yeah.
That's wild.
That's kind of crazy.
You're right. You're 100% right. That is pretty.
I figured yeah, there'd be one where it was like, you know, whatever, 10%. Sure. Or, yeah, you know, because yeah, there's always one, right?
That. Always, always there is. Most Americans don't lock up if they're just running out for a second, though. Only 25% said that they always lock their door if they're running a quick errand, and just 20% lock up when they take their dog for a walk. Some of us do lock up no matter what, though. 7% said that they even lock their door just to go check the mail. So 7% is the number there.
Okay.
Wow. And kind of a little bit higher than I would have expected, actually. The poll also looked at what we do when we get locked out.
That's what I was going to say. So I was visualizing, you know, the mail thing, like that they have a mailbox on the side of their house.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then they, oh, yeah, get locked up.
To this day, I don't know how, and I thank the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department very much, because I was, my first apartment, it's an atop, it's an old house that gets turned into, sure, you know, two apartments, and I locked myself out, and I got a brand new TV. I was so excited about this TV. It's the first, like, big purchase I've made, and I want to get it in the house, and I locked myself out, and so me and my best friend are sitting there, like, what do we do? And me being the person I am and everything, I'm like, oh, the window. So I am, for a good portion of the afternoon, like from noon to, I don't know, 1-2 o'clock or whatever, trying to figure out how to break into my apartment while also looking around and just waiting for somebody to show up and ask, hey, what's going on
and
here?
Making sure your TV doesn't walk away.
Yes, yes, all of the above. Got very lucky with all that. Let's see here.
So when you called them to unlock the door, though, did they, like, just assume you stole the TV?
No, I ended up, my landlord wasn't home, and I ended up getting into the house. I'll just say that.
All right.
I'll just say that. 39% have a spare key hidden somewhere. 29% keep a spare with a friend or a neighbor. And 25% have a smart lock they can access with their phone. Oh, I haven't heard of that. Get a look into that. 8% said that they basically just have to break into their own place through an unlocked window. Which none of that is really, you know, in what you want to do. But I think that most of us have been in situations like that. But that's the big fear of locking. Whenever you're locking the doors is, of course, locking yourself out. I have taken Sam out through the garage to, and there's a door right there, and sure, you can lock it or not. I've locked myself out doing that before, but it was completely by accident, just being in a hurry and trying to rush. I imagine, like, I already feel silly from that. I can't imagine how silly I would feel locking myself out when I purposely locked the door myself.
Well, and I think it's funny letting yourself in through an unlocked window. So you're going to lock up, but you're intentionally going to leave a specific window unlocked in case you need to get in.
And for Wisconsin, what is the percentage of homeowners from the state that always lock their doors? 83%.
Wow.
That's compared to 75% in Illinois and 73% in Minnesota. Huh, interesting. Michigan, though, is at 88%.
Just sketchy characters around.
Apparently. We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. You say. You heard the boys. Time for us to wrap up. Terry and James taking you through to the top of the hour. Wrap up the show for another Thursday. Thanks so much for joining us, Terry. It's been a lot of fun today.
Yeah, great.
Get an update from the United Way in a moment. I just want to touch on a couple of quick things. One, we got a great schedule lined up for you today. Be sure to join us for the Rapid Support today. Got a couple of great guests joining us. In the episodes will be available to download and listen to at 2 o'clock. In part one, UW Extension's Anna Mitchell going to join us. Looking forward to that. Oh, Anna's always got great topics for us and always learned something talking to her. That'll be fun. And then we will also be joined by Margie. She is with the Vesper Recreation Department. We're going to be talking with her about some fun things that they are up to bring some fun new life and entertainment and area things going on in the Vesper area. Love that area. So we're looking forward to talking with her.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Should be great. Of course, keep on listening throughout the day, everybody. At the top of the 11 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 4 o'clock hours, you'll have another opportunity to be a part of Civic Media's Sconny Summer Text to Win contest. Listen for that keyword. word to text to us through the Civic Media app. Good luck to everybody. Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight, 6:20. Rafters hosting Royal Oak. Should be a great one. They got a couple of kids on this team that are hot right now. They are just hitting the ball like it's a beach ball. It's been really fun. Last night's game, I could not stop listening. It was. I've enjoyed the season. I haven't had a game like last night where I just couldn't turn the. I'm supposed to be doing all these other things that I'm paid to do, and I was having a very hard time doing it because that game was awesome. Great job, team. And it's going to be fun. More Rafter Baseball on the radio dial tonight. We, of course, encourage you to check out Lunch by the River. It's kicking off at about a half an hour from now, 11:30 to 1, over at Veterans Memorial Park. Big thank you to the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce, all the good work that they put into that one. Today, you're going to have sponsors Renaissance by Renee's, S.C. Swindrowski, and City of Wisconsin Rapids all sponsoring. Southwood County YMCA, Turner's Gymnastics team is going to be down there. That's going to be fun. That'll be a cool one. Be sure to check that out. And, of course, Terry, we'll more on the Lunch by the River later and throughout the summer here as the United Way and us here at WFHR will be down there. That'll be a lot of fun. And I want to remind everybody, you got a great performance happening today. Live music at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor performing from 2 to 4 right there at 2651 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Go say hi to Pete and the gang for us, everybody. And we'll have more stuff to talk about tomorrow as we got a lot of great events going on in our area this weekend that we're very excited about. I'll be reminding about all of those a little bit later. But for right now, Terry did want to wrap up with a little United Way talk.
Yeah, we've got a couple of events coming up. Mark your calendar for June 17th. We were just talking about rafters, but this is our United We Can food sculpture event. I believe we have 9 teams building sculptures, so that's really awesome. The goal is to draw awareness to hunger in our community and help people kind of understand the barriers that community members face around food. And then the bonus is all of the food used to build the sculptures gets to local food programs. So, you know, it helps to supplement their supply a little bit. So I encourage you to, you could still put together a team, I guess. It's a little bit late in the game, but you certainly could. But otherwise, I encourage you to just join us at the ballpark on the 17th. Bring a non-perishable food item, you know, help with that food drive. Come on out. You get to vote on the sculptures. So that's super fun. You can pick your favorite. We do a major league and a minor league. So you get a couple of votes as an attendee of the game. So really just encourage you to, you know, mark your calendar for that. And then starting on Monday, June 9th, is the first of our Great Book giveaway events.
Yeah.
And we will be kicking off at 10:30 a.m. at Think Academy in Rudolph in the playground area. So encourage you to join us. You can find the entire schedule because there are 9 different locations throughout the week and then into the following week. But I encourage you to, you know, visit our website, click on the events tab. You can see all of the locations, mark the ones that are most meaningful for you. We will be in Rudolph, Vesper, Port Edwards, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, Adams Friendship, and Rome. So we're making our way through, you know, the majority of our service area. But the beauty of this event is kids come. We've got 3 or 4 community members that are going to read a story, maybe a favorite childhood story to the kids who attend, and then they get to leave with books that they keep. The idea is hopefully prevent some summer slide, the excitement that comes with having a new, new to you book that you can, you know, that you can keep. And so we encourage people to attend. You can come to 1, you could come to 3, you could come to all of them. We're not turning anybody away. We hope that we have great participation. So far, the weather looks like it's going to hold. So again, first one is Monday, June 9th. I'm a couple days off. Monday, June 9th, Think Academy in Rudolph, and it is at 10:30 a.m.
And keep in mind, everybody, a really cool part of this event that I think is just, it really speaks to the United Way and how in tune they are with their community and the state. Because rain or shine, these events will happen. Keep that in mind. They have backups in place to take things indoors if need be.
Yeah, we've got some signs, the little yard card signs that'll be up kind of directing you to where we're positioned.
Whether it is the diaper drive or any of the these events that Terry and I have been talking about throughout the show today. You can find out more by going to their website, uwswac.org. Be sure to go there, bookmark that page, share their posts from their Facebook page, like what they're doing there. You just never know who might see it otherwise. It is the definition of supporting local, everybody, helping out our nonprofits and our great friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Appreciate you, Terry, and the team over there and all you guys do. I got some other world good stories we wanted to get into. Before we do, I do want to send a shout out to Denise and the Southwood County Humane Society, and of course Bluey and our pet of the week over there. Big thank you to them and Milltown Coffee. Be sure to head on over to 3821 80th Street South here in Wisconsin Rapids. Get some great coffee from our friends at Milltown Coffee.
And they've got a nice looking lunch menu, so yeah, check that out too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, be sure to check that out, everybody. A woman in Chicago named Lynn Horwick got diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 100, but she's now cancer-free at age 101. Her doctor said a lot of people her age don't even bother with treatment, but Lynn doesn't plan on kicking the bucket anytime soon. She did an interview to encourage people to be proactive with their health, no matter how old they are.
I love it.
God,
isn't
that
fabulous?
Story. Yeah, yeah. Man, that's awesome. Good on her. That is a very cool story right there.
I mean, I've known probably people in their early 80s that have said, oh, I don't want to go through treatment. You know, right. And that's fine. That's their choice. I'm not, you know, diminishing that. But this where she's like, I'm 100 and I'm getting this treated. That's fabulous.
I've had relatives that were in that situation you're talking about, Terry. And that hits. I wish her the best. That's awesome. Good on her. And thank you. I appreciate that she shared that story,
yeah,
too.
Super,
you know?
Cool.
A stray kitten on Long Island got stuck down to 15 feet down a hole. And we mentioned they played sounds to get it out. I just wanted to touch on that one again. I thought that was great. And the founder of a company called Code Blue CPR climbed Mount Everest in April to install a defibrillator at Everest Base Camp. He says it's the world's highest defibrillator at just about 16,000 feet.
That's super smart, actually.
That's really intelligent, really cool. And 3 weeks after he got home, he found it had already been put to use. A 30-year-old French woman had a heart attack and it saved her life. He said that's the proudest moment of his career.
Yeah, that's kind of a mic dropper, right?
Yes, like, absolutely. Like, what an awesome move. That's pretty cool. Terry, it's been cool hanging out with you today. Thanks so much. You have a great weekend.
You too.
Have a good one out there, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.